One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
There's some things we don't normally get to do at the range, like shoot machine guns and suppressors and all kinds of fun things. And we got to play with some other stuff that you don't usually get to mess with, right?
Mm-hmm. Nods are nice.
Nods are nice. The folks from AGM were set up this evening after dinner, after dark, and we had the opportunity to play some gel ball using thermal night vision.
Orbeez in the dark.
Shot the crap out of each other.
That shit was fun.
Yeah, it was.
That was very fun. First time with NVR? No, NVG. Night vision.
NVGs, goggles. Yeah.
NVGs. I'm learning the terminology, ladies and gentlemen. I'm speaking the lingo. So
that we had weapon mounted, right?
Right.
Where it was on the basically AR pattern gel ball blaster thingamadoos.
Right.
So a bunch of us, I think we've all played paintball before, right? No, yeah. You haven't?
Nope.
This is your first time, like, zapping people with toy guns?
I've played paintball this time, seriously.
Okay. But yeah, Preacher and I have been on a team together. You and I met through that particular activity. Angelo has dabbled.
A bit.
So yeah, that was fun. You and I teamed up against Angelo and Preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And
we shot legs.
We shot legs. I will accept the target you offer me and happily shoot Angelo in the thighs.
It's a hit. It all counts in baseball.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Fair hit's a fair hit.
Barney was kind of the odd man out and teamed up with some new friends. How'd you make out?
I was hit 3 times.
By strangers.
Yeah.
At least I got hit.
By your friends?
By my friends. Look, it's a fat one. Hit him.
I see leg meat.
And then you shot Matt in the butthole.
I did. Yep. Mission accomplished.
You shot Preacher in the butthole.
You can slide me that $20 later on when they're not looking.
Right.
Mission accomplished, ladies and gentlemen. I was on target, as they say. So it was... I could see how you can get tunnel vision by utilizing just the sight.
Yeah.
Or scope or whatever the proper term for that thing is. I'm going to just call it a sight from now on. And I think it even happened to one of y'all. Like, you had to not use it in order to see the full picture. We're playing in the fucking dark, so I'm looking through it just to navigate my way around the QCB / cardboard box kingdom that we were shooting through. And I'm shooting through it at this target, and I'm not seeing the balls going through. And then Angela had to tell me how I didn't adjust for the
height over bore.
So height over bore is a thing. And and you're using thermal optics. So you're not necessarily seeing visible light. You're seeing heat signatures. So because you're seeing the heat signature, you're not seeing the cardboard box that is now ambient temperature.
Right.
So the cardboard box is invisible in the thermal. So you're shooting and you're aiming, and you're not realizing that you're only but half an inch above the cardboard box with the thermal imager. You're actually hitting the top of the box with the gel balls.
Right.
So you're actually missing your target trying to drill a hole in the wall with a gel blaster. So there's a learning curve when it comes to dealing with thermal optics, and especially with the AGM Rattlers that we were using tonight.
AGM Rattler.
Yeah, AGM Rattler. It's a RS-35, I want to say 358. It's
358, yeah.
358, I believe. It's a really nice entry-level thermal optic.
So okay.
It's affordable. It's...
Keep in mind that there is a scale to this. He's saying affordable. Their retail price is currently $3,300.
Yeah, so in the thermal world, that's like the starting point.
Okay.
a thermal, there's a lot of things that go into the quality, and the AGMs are, they're nice. I'm not gonna lie, I own one personally. I bought it myself. It was not a gift from anybody. So I like the product so much, I bought it for myself.
Right.
It does
at this event a couple years ago. Like, he got so geeked up, and he goes, I need it.
Yeah, like, I fell in love with it. I was like, all right, I had done some research. It had been like a couple years in the, you know, looking at thermals and saying, you know, at some point I'm gonna go buy one. And I came to the event, and they were like, they were here, and they had a couple on the table, and I made them an offer, and they said, sure, we'll make you that deal.
No, I need these.
but the AGM, they make a really nice product. There's a bunch of different things that are out there. A lot of them are very use specific. For me, I use it more primarily as a spotting scope, as a spotting optic, because it is so compact. So it's a really nice product. To see it used in this scenario where it was used in a game environment, it's a very expensive toy.
Right.
But in the application, it's kind of like the ground floor of affordable thermals that I would say are decent. And I'm not gonna say I've looked through every thermal on the market, because they can go up to $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 without even blinking an eye. Mm-hmm. So something in the, you know, under $5,000 as like a to get in the door is a pretty
reasonable decent, price
reasonable
point.
Price for what it is.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of horsepower for a decent price. So
I found that it was very easy to lose your surroundings when looking through.
Absolutely.
The optic.
You get
tunnel vision really easily. And I found that it was better for me during the force on force game to locate my target and, you know, and this goes back to paintball, and then just sight down the barrel, honestly.
Right.
At where I knew it needed to go, and then reacquire.
It was definitely accuracy by volume.
Yeah.
It was definitely, you know, when you're dealing with a gel blaster that holds hundreds of rounds.
I see him. Send lots.
It was not precise.
There's a silhouette. Quick, go. many
rounds. With that said, though, looking through those optics, you could identify who was who. Like, knew it was Angelo I was aiming at. I knew it was Preacher I was aiming at.
Absolutely. And if you, with the focusing on them, if you're actually using them in the hunting application, you can really like set your range of like when it's crystal clear at this point, I know that this is approximately X number of yards.
I could pick out your mustache.
Yeah, how about it?
Yeah.
It was absolutely, you know, it was crystal clear with the new updates that they have on the newer models from mine. It's incredible. Like it, you know, What a way for them to showcase what they have.
Yeah, absolutely.
By doing this. And then the other side, they had glow-in-the-dark airsoft with their helmet-mounted, I don't know if those were 14s.
Binoculars.
Yeah, they were binoculars on a head mount with a what do they call them, Rhino mount?
Or, yeah.
I'm not exactly sure which mount that they were using, but they had them like, you could see it, and then they were shooting a glow-in-the-dark
airsoft
BB, which was
with an IR mounted.
Yeah, with an IR mounted
spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had the laser that was infrared.
So it was like they're like, you're not hitting the target. I'm like, no, I'm hitting the tree behind the target because I can see it that well.
Yeah.
It was absolutely incredible, the clarity that was.
Max, you lost your mind on that little range.
I did.
Playing with those. We heard you squealing with excitement going, I need this for my yard.
I want it in my backyard. I want to go outside in the middle of the night and literally shoot glow-in-the-dark BBs at something.
I haven't decided what yet, but I'm shooting something in the yard.
I mean, you know, it was great because they had like little targets set up out there, and I'm just ding 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 ding, like I'm playing songs on the different tones on the little metal plates, and I thought it was great. The going back to the gel balls sight, it wasn't magnified, correct?
So there's different magnifications. The base magnification that you're looking at is not 1-to-1 with a digital optic. Most of the time, especially with the ones that we were using tonight,
right,
it had magnification as a base magnification. So it was actually like 1.2. And then when you hit the button, it's a digital zoom, not an optical zoom. So there is no optical zoom in the devices we were using. So when you have two eyes open and you try to look at both of them at the same time,
right,
what you're looking at on the screen appears closer than what you're seeing without the screen. So if you tried to shoot with two eyes open, which typically works in a red dot scenario or different shooting techniques and whatnot,
right,
in this particular scenario, it's difficult. You can't do that, in my opinion, because if you try to do that, you have your depth of field just goes completely wonky. And for me, I find that it's difficult to focus on something that's magnified at 1.2 and then something that's magnified at zero, you know, at basically at 1.1, mm-hmm. like real life.
I couldn't do it at all because I have eye dominance issues.
Right.
And it became very apparent with two eyes open that I was not hitting what I was looking at until I closed an eye.
So there is, and that's device specific.
Okay.
You know, each different type of device that I looked at when I was doing the research before my purchase, some of them had a base magnification of 2, some of them had a 1.8, some of them had 2.5. It just depends on how they set up their glass. And the glass on the thermal is not traditional glass for an optic. It's actually made of germanium. So you can't, the difference between thermal and low light or night vision can see through glass.
Okay.
Because it doesn't recognize that panel. But the germanium lens has something to do, and I don't know the science behind it, but you can't see through a glass panel with thermal. It only reflects back the image of what's inside of it. So essentially it's like looking at a mirror. So every piece of glass becomes a mirror to what's in the room or behind you. So there's, again, that's another part, it's another thing that's like, night vision has purpose here, thermal has purpose here, they have overlap, they have a tremendous amount of overlap.
Right.
But they each have limitations that you have to try to overcome. Like people say like night vision is a superpower, and then thermal is like beyond that, because you're looking in the dark. Huh. And then with thermal, you can see, but you're not looking through things. Like you can't see, like if you're in your house and you want to see something outside, you're not doing that with thermal, unless you open up a window and look out an open window.
Right.
Where with night vision, you can actually see through the glass pane for the most part.
There are
some limitations on certain things. There's echoes and whatnot and reflections. And there's limits to everything. So,
But he doesn't know the science behind it.
He's just spitballing right now.
Right.
This is all hypothetical theories, ladies and gentlemen.
Broad brush, as it were.
There's a lot of... Listen, if you talk to me, and I can give you the information I have, and then if you look at other people who are in the industry, they'll be able to tell you, like, the hardcore science behind it. And when I did, like, a deep dive on the one that I have, mm-hmm. I did that deep dive and learned everything I possibly could about it. Why it was worth what it was worth. Because it is a substantial investment. I mean, you're talking, you know, you can get a base model AR-15 that's affordable in the anywhere from, you know, sub $1,000 range. And then here you're going to put a 3 times the cost of that essentially thermal optic that may or may not be what you're looking for. So a lot of research goes into it because it is a pretty hefty purchase. I mean, typically, thermals are used for hog hunting, coyote hunting, stuff at night, things where you can like positively identify stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important to know what you're getting.
Yes.
It's important to know instead of shelling out $2,000-$3,000 mm-hmm. for an optic that really might not work for your needs,
right.
And depending on whatever your hunting scenario is.
So here's
if you're taking that bigger risk with your marriage, you got to make the right choice the first time.
Yes.
That's a great way of putting it. It really is. I like that.
What was your thoughts, Max? I mean, you, this is the first time you've ever seen this technology in an application. Like, coming from, like, paintball and coming from, you know, that world, and then seeing this technology brought, like, kind of, like, melding over. What were your thoughts?
So, the first thing I noticed looking through the thermal, I saw it lag. I saw it lag, and it really showed me how much of a digital picture I was looking at. I'm used to scopes where it's a real-time picture because it's just glass through glass and stuff. And even here, when you pulled out your unit and I'm looking through it, I saw it lag again.
Horrible.
It's all right. Phrasing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're definitely back. So it really reminded me that I'm looking at a digital representation of it. Once the lag stopped being an issue for me, which really wasn't an issue, it was just something I noticed and said, and I started internally thinking about it. The second thing I noticed comparing it to my Holosun is the one that magnifies, right? The 2X?
Yes.
I got, is that I believe it's called co-witnessing, to where like if I'm on an angle, I still had a clear picture, but on the Holosun, like I have to look straight through it in order to be able to see straight through it, whereas
that's your parallax.
There you go. Sure,
right? Because you're lining that optical tube with your eye, where this is a projection on a screen right in front of you.
Right. So I didn't have to fight parallax for the key to the universe. And when they gave me the rifle, I had to extend the stock because my arms are gigantically long. So when they gave it to me all short, I'm looking at it, and I couldn't see as much as I knew I could if I just extended it out.
Right.
And extending it out, I was able to look straight through that thing, and I didn't have any parallax issues that I was expecting because of being that it was the first time in my dealings with my Holosun. So that was great because no matter where I put it in front of me, I could see through it. And again, that's probably because it's a digital picture and not mirrored glass and angled glass and all of that shit, which I thought was dope.
So for safety's sake, they had us using goggles over
right.
our glasses. And a bunch of us here wear glasses, corrective lenses. Did you keep your glasses on under the goggles?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Because I know Preacher and I took ours off. And that's the other nice thing about that is because that it's not a lens, it's a projection right in front of your eye. You don't need that corrective lens to see that clearly.
Right. And a difference between that and the head-mounted gear, there was focusing going on the head-mounted gear because I
right.
could see far, but anything, like I put my hand up for a second and it was blurry as fuck.
Right.
So I guess being that the head-mounted gear wasn't a digital representation, there was focusing involved with it.
The thermal that we were using is a lot more forgiving, but it was already set up for us to be able to view at a certain distance. So there is a focus factor inside of the thermal optic as well.
Okay.
It's just they had already tuned everything, so this way they had a set known distance and they knew that it had to be clear within that distance.
Okay.
So they pretty much set those up for us ahead of time.
And the night vision rig, you could tune and focus as if you would a lens.
Exactly. Both of them are the same. They both of them have that same capability. It's just because there was a larger field of
right.
view, like there was a larger field that we were using for the night vision, it was set up for different distances depending upon which one you were using and whether or not somebody played with them ahead of time.
Right.
Now, when I put them on, they had them set for the furthest target. But because the night vision was so clear and because we had a very bright moon and because we had everything going with us and we had,
right.
you know, some ambient light, I could actually see the texture of a tree
yeah.
beyond the target, and I was actually hitting the tree beyond it because they had so much clarity, and that just happened to be the point at which it was focused at.
Mm-hmm.
So when I put mine on, I couldn't focus on the closer targets, the musical targets that you were basically
right.
playing a tune on.
Yeah.
So I couldn't see those up front, and I, because there was a lot of people and I didn't really want to sit there and, you know, I had played with stuff before, so I was like, you know what, let me let somebody else do it. I really just took a couple of shots, tried it out. And I'm like, all right, it's sighted at here, you know, a couple rounds here. Give it to the next person, pass it on, let them have fun.
Question, your glasses, are you nearsighted, farsighted, or astigmatism?
I have a slight astigmatism.
Okay.
And I can see close, I can't see far. Things get a little fuzzy.
Nearsighted.
But it's nearsighted. It's minor. Minor correction because I have a commercial license, so I like to play when I'm driving really big things, like really big trucks. So I don't, you know, technically I don't need glasses if I really wanted to get away with it, but signs become a little blurry, you know, that kind of thing. So for me, optics, like the HoloSun, I have 510s on some of my rifles, and I have a lot of what they call blue, where when I look at the, when I look at it, I see like a halo and extra dots and stuff like that, and it doesn't, it's not a crisp image. Where somebody who doesn't have astigmatism looks at it, they're like, this looks great. And I'm like, okay, if you say so.
And that's where prism
prismatic sights and edge sights, like I use on another rifle to try out different things. I have a Swampbox Optics blade. And it's an etched prismatic reticle. I have it in amber, like I have it in yellow, and then I have it in red. Because some people can't see reds or greens and stuff like that.
Who are those losers?
Genetic misfits.
So Swampbox had come out a little while ago with one in amber. So I figured, you know what? Let me get this one.
It's me. It's me. I'm the colorblind one they're making fun of.
I wanted to get one because I knew people couldn't see certain colors.
Right.
And I ended up really liking it because it's an etched reticle. The colors and everything, and or a prismatic reticle, it was just really clear. Like, it was very sharp. So now
the yellow, you're saying?
The prismatic reticle, like the way that it was cut in the glass, there's marks that are clearly defined.
Right.
So with my astigmatism, it looks very, very sharp. So it's a fraction of the cost of the HoloSun, and it's very clear to me.
Right.
So for me, I have, you know, if somebody else, if I take people to the range, I'm like, hey, take a look at this, take a look at this. I have different things that they can look at and try different ones.
It's like putting on somebody else's glasses. It's probably not going to work well for you because you need this.
That's the reason why I have so many different ones for people to try. When I'm introducing people to firearms, I'm like, try this. Oh, I like this. I like that. All right. Well, then try this one, you know, and
ooh, that looks clear.
That looks better. This looks worse. Okay. Then I can help guide them along their journey of firearms ownership.
So you said that there's a model that has red lenses? You said yellow or
reticle.
It's the actual sight inside of it. Like the actual targeting reticle.
Okay.
Red, green, and amber. I think they actually list it as amber on their website.
Yeah, they call it amber. There's some companies that do blue too.
Yeah, but I haven't had the opportunity to try that one yet. So
I don't like blue.
But it's still the glass is still clear.
Glass is clear.
Okay.
Target, like
I'm thinking like the classic shooter glasses that have the yellow lenses, and they would do that inside of a sight. No. Okay.
So.
Yeah, the one I have on one of my rifles, you can switch it from red to green. And you can also select the cross or the circle with the dot and all that stuff.
Yeah. That sounds like the HoloSuns.
Yeah.
The HoloSuns, they have some really great stuff. They have some really great stuff. One of the things that we didn't get to try, because I'm sure they'll be showing it off tomorrow, because tomorrow is another full day of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to try the linking of the thermal.
Linking. Okay.
So basically, the AGM Rattler puts out a Wi-Fi signal. You can turn on a network, and it'll broadcast the network. And you can link to it on your phone, download the app, and you can actually look and record
what the thermal
sees. And you can use the targeting reticle that is on there. So you can theoretically hold the rifle out over from cover. And you can be behind cover and basically hold the rifle up to see what's going on the
periscope.
Yep.
It's a modern day periscope.
Yeah. So you literally can take it, hold it around the corner, hold it outside a door.
Right.
You know, in this scenario, hold it above the boxes and have either a spotter, or if you have some means of propping it up so you can see what's going on,
right,
you can look at it and have that capability, which is...
And it also had a memory card icon, so it has a memory card you can store video, I guess?
It has an internal memory.
Okay.
Which you can record photographs and video. It does not record audio, I believe. I don't know if they came out with the newer version has that. The older one did not.
Okay.
It records video on the device, and then you can connect the device to a computer, or if you link it to your phone, you can record to whatever your...
Right, you can record the feed.
You can record the feed directly to that device, but you can't transfer from the optic to the device directly.
Do their helmet mounted offer the same option as far as
no, connection? Those are not digital. Those are analog. The ones that we tried tonight were traditional analog NV tubes.
Okay.
I don't know what model they were because there were a lot of people who wanted to try them out. Did anybody?
I tried them.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked them. Something to remember with those too is they work like binoculars, right? So if something's not necessarily in focus, you move it left and right till you get a crisp solid picture. Otherwise, you know, you put them on and they just may be a blurry mess. You know, just mess with
focus
them.
Yeah.
Focus mm-hmm. them, and it'll clear it up. It won't necessarily, like you said earlier, they had them specifically focused towards the back.
The ones I put on were the rear.
Yeah.
I think the ones that Max tried out were close set up ones. Closer.
The big head
yeah,
one.
The big head one. That's
was,
what I had.
Was set up very much for the close targets.
Yeah.
And not so much the very back targets. I had a lot more trouble because I used both of them actually. I used the small head one and the big head one. We're talking about the size of the helmet, by the way. The small head one was very much clearer further out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just a matter of personal preference. If you're going to invest in that level, you're going to set it for yourself. You can go with a mono tube. Mm-hmm. You can go with a bi tubes. I mean, if you really have money to set on fire, you can get four. They call them quad nods.
I've seen them on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Donatello uses them.
How does a turtle afford one of those things?
Hey, man.
Listen.
You never know.
Donatello does machines.
He does.
So he probably made his own.
I think that's how he did it, as a matter of fact. And they took a van and made it a weapon.
You could buy for a set of knots.
It's a lot of pizza deliveries.
That is a lot of pizza deliveries.
So my final question is totally not related to any of this, but something that I've been noticing and I've been meaning to ask, and I figured I'll just wait till this. Why is it that the American flag is printed backwards on shirts?
Only on the right arm, because it is always charging forward into battle.
Okay. See, if you're old, you know it doesn't belong on the right arm. It belongs on your left arm, because that's the side closest to your heart, and the flag should be flown with the stars at the top left at all times. But in the new army, some general came in and decided he was going to change the uniform and did this dumb shit, putting the flag on the right shoulder and printed the flag backwards.
But it's not new army now. Now it's old army. You're talking ancient. You're talking.
You know what? I don't. Yeah.
But I only see it that way, like on T-shirts. Like I don't think I've seen a backwards patch.
You'll also see it on police cars, firefighter, fire trucks, ambulances. Mm-hmm. If they put a flag on the right side of the vehicle, the flag is typically reversed, so this way it's always charging forward. So if you think of it,
if it was an actual flag,
it's
moving forward.
Forward.
That blue field is always going to be at the front.
The blue field being where the stars are.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because that's where the pole is.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's moving forward.
That does make sense now. Okay.
If you were to put it traditional, it would be basically signaling that the person is retreating.
Oh. Okay. That makes sense.
Or just put it on the left shoulder where it fucking belongs.
Yes.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, because that would make a lot more sense. Holy shit. That's why I ask these questions, ladies and gentlemen. That way I can find out the truth and the justice and the discount code.
Well, we're going to go to our show sponsor, Stuff and Things.
There you go.
At stinkusa.com, stinkusa.com. You're going to use coupon code NEW2PEW. Get you 10% off site wide with all the great stuff and things that they offer,
including the shocker.
The shocker, all the fun parts for the
chocolate
CMR 30,
the Willy Wonka chocolate,
and there's a bunch of new chassis and body kits and things coming So that's it for this episode. Be sure to check out the sponsors we mentioned earlier. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at new2pew@blackbagresources.com. You can check out the website, blackbagresources.com. And if you really want to go deep, you can check out the Black Bag Resources Network and become a part of the community. Thanks for listening.